Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If John the Baptist were alive today, well, first of all, maybe he wouldn't be called John the Baptist, maybe he'd be called John the Lutheran, because he wouldn't like change, maybe. If John the Baptist were alive today, he'd stand in contrast to every single one of us. If he were alive today, he wouldn't get his coffee at Starbucks. He wouldn't eat at Regis Restaurant. Rather than go to movies at the Riviera downtown, he'd shop at Redbox. He wouldn't have a smartphone, maybe not even a track phone. And he'd be living in a van down by the river. He'd still stress the most important things in life, such as fear of God and good works for the neighbor in need. He'd stress baptism. He'd stress doing good for one another. He who has two cans of soup should share with one who has none. He'd still stress the need of baptism, just like little Cooper received today. He'd still stress the need of repentance. He'd still say that the wrath of God is no child's play. If John were alive today, he'd be making way for the Savior to come again. Repentance is the way to make way for the King. John knew that if you don't repent, then you are telling God that you're good enough just as you are, and you don't need his grace and his salvation. But, as we say in our liturgy and the words from a different John of the Bible, when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we repent and confess our sins, then we agree with John that more than anything else in all the world, we need a Savior. Today in our text, John is in jail. Did he forget to pay his taxes? No. Did he steal something? No. Did he murder? Well, maybe only in his heart when he hated his neighbors, just like we all do. But he didn't really do that. The reason why he was in jail was because he told King Herod that he needed to repent too. He told him that he was an adulterer and that the wrath of God was against him. Of course, King Herod didn't like that, so he put him in jail. In jail, John was useless as a preacher of repentance. And it seems that John began to doubt the things about life, even doubt his former conviction that Jesus is the Lamb of God, the Christ. And so he sent someone to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to look for another?" That's a surprising question coming from John the Baptist. Maybe he had the wrong expectations about the Messiah. The question is what are you supposed to expect from a Messiah? Did John expect that since he was following God so faithfully, preparing the way for the Messiah, for Jesus, that therefore he shouldn't be in jail? Was he expecting that everyone would bow down and worship Jesus and that no one would reject him? Total acceptance of the Savior? Did he expect that the Messiah was going to pull out his axe and start laying it at the root of the trees and start chopping down those fruitless trees like King Herod and all the Sadducees, the Pharisees, those godless pagans? Divine retribution. In many ways, we, like John, have the wrong expectations about God. We sometimes expect God to do tricks and miracles that we think would prove that he is real, rather than believe the signs and wonders that he has already done. Or we think that if God blesses us and keeps us out of prison and keeps us from getting sick and doesn't let any tornadoes strike our homes and causes our enemies to turn against us and protects all of our portfolios from the economic downturn, then God must be real. Then, and therefore, we believe. And therefore, we will have smooth sailing from here to eternity. But that wasn't the case for John. And God's ways are not always our ways. And neither are our ways God's ways, says the Lord. In response to John and us, Jesus points us away from our expectations of the Messiah and back to his word and deeds. The things that Jesus did in his ministry are the things that prove that God is real and that God has come. Jesus says, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." That's how the world will know that God has sent his Son. By the fulfillment of the word, which God spoke to the prophets of old. The same word which he fulfilled in his life, in his healing, in his death, and in his resurrection. Blessed is the one who is not offended by God, who requires faith that he fulfills his word in his ways. Blessed is the one who is not offended by Jesus. Blessed is the one who follows Jesus in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer. Blessed is the one who is not offended by Jesus. You know, despite John's doubting and questioning, Jesus still has gracious words to say about John. Recall in our text, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." You know, people like to model and mimic other great people of the world. They say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Since Jesus calls John the Baptist great, it may be fitting for us, too, to imitate John the Baptist's life. Try to implement some of the things about John the Baptist in our life, too. If so, it may not mean living in a van down by the river. But surely we may focus on those most important things in life, like repentance and good works, faith and the gift of our baptism, and model him, sure. Maybe even put on camel's hair and a leather belt. But we make another man the Lord and Master of our life. Jesus is the one who is greater than John. He is greater because he made himself the lesser. He became the least of all men by taking up his cross and dying for you. Model John the Baptist and remember him, sure. But the greatest man, let him be Jesus the Christ. When it comes to our salvation, John must decrease, but Jesus must increase. And may all those who are in jail, all those who are blind, all those who can't walk, and all those who are dead, all those who are poor, may they all know that there is good news being proclaimed in Christ Jesus, the Christ of Christmas. And until then, this Advent season, continue to prepare your hearts to receive him who is the one, the greatest and the least of all men, the King who has come to save us from our sins. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.